Welcome back to part two of that classic rock show on WHRU, Huntley Community Radio. Let's continue our discussion with the immensely talented Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, Mr. Stuart Copeland. Stuart, you've done a lot of soundtracks in your life, and one of my favorites is the Francis Ford Coppola movie Rumblefish, which he wrote and directed. You scored a very key part of that film. What led you to soundtrack work, and which films are you most proud of?
Well, that's one of them, certainly. You picked my favorite, too. What led me into film composing was a phone call from Francis Ford Coppola. I decided to take the call. And as soon as I got into that world and saw what it was all about, immediately fought like crazy to get the gig. And I used some drummer technique there, you know. Drummers have to have the skill of getting the other guy gone because there's only one drum set. And so playing drums is real important too, but getting rid of the other guy is another important skill for drummers. You know, guitarists, there's another amp or there's another jack they can plug in. Drummers, you're getting rid of the other guy. So I applied these skills to getting rid of all these other musicians that Francis had brought down just to kind of see what would happen, to just kind of throw some elements together. And he was very experimental in that way. And having nuked all of the other guys, I got the gig. And that opened me up to not just film music, but orchestra as well, because of the day when he turns around and I'm playing him the music for all the different scenes. He says, yeah, that's great, that's great, that's great. But he turns around and says, you know, but we need strings. You know, for emotion, you need strings. And why, sure, Francis, no problem. Yep, let's get some strings up here. So I call the contractor and I say, I need some strings. Send me some strings. He says, well, how many? I don't know. Strings, plural, more than two. And so these string players show up there. I think there must have been, a couple dozen, maybe, you know, maybe 20 strings. And it was, all it was strings, no clarinets, no woodwinds, brass or percussion or anything. And a couple of things emerged from this session. You know, they're just whole notes. I didn't have the technique to write fancy stuff. I just, you know, swaying strings to do very simple stuff. And a couple of things. First of all, instead of like with a guitarist, you spend all afternoon and he brings two different Stratocasters and a Les Paul and a Marshall and Fender amp and a whole Fred Astaire of foot pedals. And you spend a wonderful afternoon with the string guys, put the chart down in front of them, count them in, and they're done in 20 minutes. A couple things. One, wow, that's efficient. You mean no negotiation, no anything, just put it on the page and they play it? Cool. And the other thing was, wow, that sounds pretty. Just the beauty of it inspired me to spend the next 30 years of my life working with orchestra.
Well, you've done really some great work with a lot of the soundtracks you've done in your life. So let's play a song from Rumblefish. Again, I love that movie, very avant-garde. And the song we're going to play is Don't Box Me In.
Don't box me in. All right, Stuart, let's talk about your first solo album under the curious name of Clark Kent. The album was titled Don't Care, and I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, you played most or all of the instruments. So what's with the pseudonym Clark Kent, and was there a message behind the album titled Don't Care?
Well, they were songs that were just too dumb for Sting to sing. The man does have some dignity, and I wouldn't do that to him. So I went and see, I did indeed play all the instruments, even the singing. And you know, I never sang in the shower, never sang in the car. I never even listened to singers that much. I'm listening to the riff and the drums mostly. So it was a travesty of justice that the BBC Radio 1 decided to pick the record up and play it and put it on their playlist equals hit. And so the Police had been kind of not getting anywhere for a year. Or over a year by that time. And so this was the first flush of any kind of hit. In fact, we went on Top of the Pops, which was the national, sure. English national TV, you know, pop music show.
Right.
And I didn't want to appear as a band, even though I had played all the instruments. I like being a member of a band. So I had Sting and Andy and another buddy of mine on drums, all in masks. And so the first time the Three Blonde Heads were ever on national TV was into my backing band. Thank you. I'm glad you asked about that. But the secret identity, the Clark Kent and the mask and everything, was because the Police were just so busted at the time. We were known as a fake bunch of carpetbaggers, and the cred was not good. So I figured I could dodge that by hiding behind a mask. And as I used to say, the mask reveals the true identity.
Kind of like the Masked Singer, huh?
Kind of, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
That was before my time.
That was, yes, yes. We don't want to age you. Let's return to some more of your soundtrack work. You also did music for video games. One of them was Spyro, which was introduced in 1998 and was originally published by Sony Entertainment. So everyone get out your old PlayStations and let's listen to the song Cliff Town. Listening to that classic rock show on WHRU, Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM.
I like Cliff Town. It was very interesting. I like that. I'll have to go find my PlayStation. I was never good at PlayStation, were you?
I never played video games.
Oh, excuse me.
No. You know what they did? They reissued it. They redid the whole game, up-resed it, and so with the music as well. And so it used to be the purple dragon running across a green field. Now, you can see every blade of grass in that field, every butterfly flapping its wings. It's just exactly the same game with the same music, same everything, but really high res. And that came about because kind of a long story here. If you're interested, you can cut it out. If you're not,
no, go ahead.
At the schools over on the West Side, LA, they have these gala nights where they fundraise, and all the parents have to contribute something, which gets auctioned off. And I, you know, my thing is, okay, drum lesson, and I auction it off. And, and so some dad shows up with his kid who couldn't care less, but the dad is like a police fan. And so I just tell the dad war stories while showing the kid how to hold his sticks, and it's all fine. Anyhow, one year, just the dad comes over without the kid. And he's sort of like a, I don't know, late 30s, early 40s, you know, obviously successful guy to be, you know, going to that school, sending his kids to that school, and give him a bit of a drum lesson. And he looks up my wall and he sees that I've got this Spyro thing, a platinum thing for Spyro. And he says, oh, you enjoy doing that? And I said, yeah. In fact, I'm looking for the people who own the IP on that so I could like do orchestral versions. And, you know, there's a thing now where orchestras like to play game music, and I'm thinking about that. He says, you know what? I can help you with that. I own it. I'm the CEO of Activision. Oh, you don't say, which owns the property of Spyro. And so he said, you know, we're gonna reissue that game. And so they did. It all came from that strange meeting where I gave the guy a drum lesson and he decided to reissue the thing. It's still going 20 years later. Wow. Actually, no, that was a few years ago. Yeah. That's like 25 years later. That franchise will not quit.
Wow, that is so cool.
Another thing, that music that I wrote, Under the Gun, just by the volume, by the yard, was some of the best music I ever wrote, which is a great lesson, which might be of interest to your listeners, that under pressure, art improves. You know, when you haven't got time to think and you just churn and burn and churn and burn, that's when the cool stuff happens.
Good advice, everyone out there. Listen to him. Stuart, you played in a lot of bands after The Police, and one was called, Gizmodrome. And with me being Italian, I love the fact that you came together in Italy and your keyboard player was Italian. Can you tell us a little bit about that group and what did you want to achieve musically?
Well, I think it's the worst band name in history. you had to take a running jump at pronouncing the thing for a second. Well,
it sounds very it sounds very Prague, though. I mean,
yeah. But I mean, every summer I go to Italy on any excuse. I'm doing my Police Deranged for Orchestra show there this summer. And one summer I went there, I was talking earlier about getting to play in front of the band and watching this young drummer do all the work. Well, that was Gizmodrome with Mark King on bass and Adrian Ballou on guitar, Vittorio Cosma on keyboards, indeed Italian. And the whole band came together. In Italy, we're called Gizmo. And we play shows without a record, without any agenda other than just playing shows. And Italy is always a blast. We're there for the pasta.
Yeah, you're there for the food.
Actually, recording a record, making a record. Turns out there's 20 bands called Gizmo, and we had to come up with a version of the name Gizmodrome. And people kept me as a Gizmodrodo, Gizmodrime, Gizmodrome. What's the name of the band again? Worst band name in history, but kind of a cool band.
Well, in Italy, it would be Gizmodrome, probably.
Gizmodrome.
Right? Gizmodrome. Hey, what are you doing?
Well, yeah. Let's get it.
No, that's not Italy. That's New Jersey.
Well, probably.
What
true.
Are you doing?
What are you New doing? Jersey. Hey, how you doing? Well, go
Isn't
ahead.
Isn't that the south side of Chicago?
South side, yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's get a taste of the band Gizmodrome by playing a song off their 2017 self-titled album. Here is the song, Stay Ready.
Kicks you can have on this widescreen. A whole new place, never been here before. Strange faces like I've never seen. So just in case, I'll stay close to the door. Strange city down below, 1,000 feet to zero.
All right, Stuart, this particularly interested me. Your docudrama, Rhythmatist, I'm not sure if that's proper English, but it's about your travels through Africa and making rhythmic discoveries. So I'm curious if the late Ginger Baker was one of your influences. For example, you had things in common such as love of exotic rhythms, and you both traveled through Africa, and I think you played polo, and I think he played polo. So who were your top influences on drums prior to your police years?
Well, Ginger was certainly one of them, big up there with Cream, and the jams that they did, that improvisation was a big deal for me. But the other one was Mitch Mitchell with Jimi Hendrix, who should be at the top five of any list of drummers, but isn't, because he was kind of overshadowed by Jimi. That's my theory anyway, is he was overshadowed by Jimi Hendrix, but he was really at the apex, really boss of all of them. But because Jimi Hendrix was such a big deal, he kind of gets forgotten a little bit.
Yeah, Mitch Mitchell was, in a way, kind of similar to Keith Moon, in that he was not playing on the beat. Usually he was playing, in between everything. And then, of course, you had Buddy Miles, who with Band of Gypsies was a totally different drummer. But I'm glad you mentioned Ginger Baker, because he's one of my favorites, and I'm a huge Cream fan.
But, yeah, we did play polo together, by the way,
in
Hawaii. And the guy couldn't ride that well, but, man, could he hit that ball. If he was anywhere near the ball, he would connect. And
well, you're lucky he didn't hit you over the head with the mallet.
That's right. Beware, Mr. Baker.
Exactly, the documentary.
He called me young man. Young man! In fact, I got a recording with him, which you can see on my YouTube channel.
Oh, really?
Which I think might be the last recording of Ginger Baker. He came over here, and we jammed for like a minute, and I got it. And a few minutes after we were playing, an ambulance was called, and they're putting things on his chest and telling him they have to take him down the hospital. He said, "No, I'm not going into your ambulance."
Yeah.
I mean, Ginger was a phenomenal drummer. That's why I knew you liked Ginger Baker, so I wore my Cream shirt just for you today. And speaking of icons of the music business, Jeff Beck, one of our favorites, as you well know, he passed away recently. We read that you and Jeff were working on a project way back in 2000. Can you shed some light on these sessions, and is the material ever going to be released?
We crossed paths a number of times. One of them was when we were making an album together, but he had some personal life issues that complicated things, and I gave up. You've seen the movie Spinal Tap?
Yes.
I lived Spinal Tap. the playing, the music was unbelievable, but just getting organized to make some progress. I haven't got a lifetime to spend in, darkest Kent in England waiting for the stars to align. So the mission was incomplete. But also, we ran into each other in France, where my brother Miles had a songwriter's retreat in his castle, don't you know? And there were people like Belinda Carlisle or Cher, or, singers who needed songs, and there were musicians to play music, and there were lyricists, mostly from Nashville, because, country has the best lyrics. And we would write songs for 2 weeks, an orgy of songwriting. Well, my bass player buddy, Armand Sabaleko from Cameroon, and Jeff and I, they just kept the three of us in a room and would send singers who need a song, and we'd work with all these different people. It's kind of ethnic. So we have all these recordings of those sessions at Miles's castle.
Yeah.
And they probably won't be released because he was very careful about what he did release. And I think his instructions to his dear wife, Sandra, were, don't release anything that I didn't release. And I'm not going to argue. I mean, I got them. They're really cool. Man, I think the world would love them, but it's okay.
Well, I'll give you $10 to let me hear some.
That's it? I'll throw in an extra $5. How about that?
I just thought, what a great combo.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no, you know, we can't release a record, but I could send you an MP3 and you can play it. You never said anything about that.
Okay.
Give it to Katie.
Yeah.
Let's get it over here. Well, I want to talk about your 2021 album, Divine Tides, with Indian musician Ricky Keg, and it won a Grammy in the immersive audio category. And it's not the type of music that most rock and roll fans will know. Can you describe immersive audio for us?
Well, it's the second Grammy we've run on the same record 2 years in a row.
Right, right.
The first one was for Get This, New Age Album of the Year. Now, that's a box that I've been longing to tick for all my career. New Age. In fact, I'm surprised we even made it into the category because it's kind of noisier than that. I would have put it in a world category or something. But Ricky Cage, I'd crossed paths with him before, and he sent me these tracks, and I started banging stuff on them, miking up my crotales and my marimbas and cool stuff. And we made this record, which won the New Age category last year, and then came around again this year as the immersive mix, I guess surround sound or something. But that's not bad. 70 years old, still winning Grammys.
No, yeah.
How about that?
Well, you know, I listened to I was a big fan of the Windham Hill label going back into the 80s, and they kind of started that whole category. And then Narada came along, and that other Narada is another label that was into that. But let's play a song from this Grammy-winning album. Here is the song Himalayas.
Well, Stuart, I'm sorry, but we're out of time. We would love to ask you so many more questions. You've been an absolutely superb guest. I hope you had a good time with us today.
Oh, yeah. Talking about myself, what could be better?
All right. For all you Police fans and those who want to experience Police music in a whole new way, pick up some tickets for Stuart Copeland's Police Deranged for Orchestra. He'll be playing with the Waukegan Orchestra at the beautiful Genesee Theater in Waukegan on May 19th.
I'll be there photographing him. I'm excited for the show.
I'll be there listening.
So please join us on the air every Monday from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. and Fridays from 11 a.m. to noon on the mighty 101.5 FM Huntley Community Radio.
And don't forget, if you miss our on-air broadcast, you can listen to our archive shows anytime by going to the Huntley Community Radio website and finding the link to that classic rock show. Everyone, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, everyone.